Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Fosu slipped just as he tackled, and Hesketh in the penalty area. Hesketh pulled back, and it's a challenge from Pearce.
Not a chance.
Okay, and the referee has given it.
Oh no! I don't believe it.
It looks a fair challenge from this angle. The referee has given it, and he wants the word of Jason Pearce.
I don't believe he's given that. I really don't. That's a nonsense decision. Well, on first glance, at least. But the last two or three decisions have all gone the home way, haven't they? You just got the feeling something was cooking.
Chunk of Hill a little bit agrees. I don't know with that decision, but certainly it was a foul in the build-up to that.
Exactly that.
On Tariq Fosu that wasn't given. You might have heard the cries from the away fans, and now Chunk have to try and prevent a penalty. She's going to be taken by Lucas Aikins as captain of the right-back up against Jed Steer. He's already made a magnificent save in this game. Can he keep Charlton in it? Referee blows. Aikins steps up, right footed. Aikins strikes and sends Steer the wrong way, and Burton have the lead. Ooh, that's a terrible ball from Brayford, and Taylor picks it up. Taylor will drive forward. He's got Fosu ahead of him. He uses him decoy. Taylor to the right, and Grant in the penalty area. Grant turns. Grant cuts off his foot, goes down. The referee gets a penalty. It didn't look like he was.
Grant, I didn't think so either.
To his left foot, McFadden dived in.
No, that took an age.
No complaints from the centre half.
Do you think the assistant must have given that? Because he didn't look like he wanted to give it.
No, the referee just blew it. Looked like he was going to give a foul against Grant.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Grant has won a penalty, and Charlton have the chance to redeem themselves. There's no complaints from McFadden. I wasn't 100% sure myself. But McFadden dived in. Grant sold him the dummy. Cut inside onto his left foot. And now Charlton have a penalty of their own, which
Carl and Grant's going to take it.
Looks very unlikely. But Grant will take. He's the one who won it. He stepped up and said, that's mine. And I spoke to Lyle Taylor about penalties at half-time on Saturday. And he said he didn't mind taking them, but he missed one on international duty. So now it's the responsibility of Carl and Grant. There's a little bit of time before this penalty is taken as the referee wants the word of the players on the edge of the box. Now peels off as Grant prepares to take. Referee blows his whistle. Grant steps back about 3 yards back. Grant steps up, right footed, strikes.
Yes.
In just to the goalkeeper's right. The goalkeeper got a touch. It wasn't a great penalty.
No, it wasn't. No, you're right.
By Carl and Grant. But the Addicts are level nonetheless after 32 minutes.
Just under 3 minutes left of normal time remaining. Charlton have a corner on the right hand side as Charlton attack. Ward has come across in front of the Addicts faithful, who have made the trip north. That's a good ball into the box. That's a lovely goal! It was Cerebo got his head there, and Jason Pearce has buried it in the six-yard box to give Charlton an unlikely lead.
Well, I said they had to get it right, and they got it right. A great ball in from Ward. It's touched on by Rebo at the back post with Jason Pearce, of all players, to just guide the ball home. And the Addicts have been under pressure a lot in the second half. Managed to get the lead after 87 minutes. Get it.
Brayford in his own half, scampering backwards to get it.
To
I make that time up. Brayford taking his time. Now he knocks it long, but that's the whistle. And Charlton have bagged 3 points in the most unlikeliest of circumstances. It gives the wrong impression.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview coming to you live from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me here in the studio as we get ready to gear up for Saturday's FA Cup second round home game with Doncaster Rovers and of course look back at that absolute smash and grab victory up in the Midlands and Burton Albion is Mr. Tom Welling. How are you doing, Tom?
Very good.
You look chilly, you're wearing a hat in the studio.
Yeah, my head is quite cold.
Have you had a nice little break, been away?
It's been alright, yeah. I was just looking, I haven't seen a game since Doncaster at home.
It's been nothing but wins since then.
Plus Swansea under 21s.
Doesn't count.
Let's not forget that.
That doesn't count.
But yeah, it's not the real quiz. Have we recently?
Yeah, doing well. Doing well. Fourth league win in a row up at the Pirelli Stadium on Tuesday evening. We just heard the highlights. We'll also hear from Lee Bowyer's post-match interview and we'll hear from the match winner and the skipper, of course, Jason Pearce. We want to know your three-word reviews of that performance as well. Find our Twitter page at Charlton Live and react to that game. Our three-word review tweet. Let us know in three words how you would sum up that win during the week. Also, before we start to gear up for Saturday's home game with Donny in the FA Cup, we're going to talk about some of the sort of subjects that came up in today's press day from Bowyer, the transfer window, Jed Steer potential being recalled, that sort of stuff was talked about, so we'll have a chat about that, and then of course look ahead to Saturday's game in the Cup. We'll hear the potential team news from Lee Bowyer and we'll discuss it ourselves. So plenty of stuff to look forward to, but first of all, I mean, there's ways to win a game, Tom, and I mean, probably not going to happen every week if you try it that way, but Charlton got away with one on I would have ripped your arm off for a point with about 25 minutes left to go on Tuesday and we went and took all three.
I'd rather you didn't rip my arm off, but yeah, I would have absolutely taken that as well. And as I said to you just off air there, I bumped into a mate at work who's a Charlton fan and he said this just doesn't happen to us. We don't very often get those smash and grab wins. It's usually someone doing it against us. You know, think back to Peterborough here or Sunderland,
Coventry.
Yeah, so it's just happened time and time again. But yeah, I mean, I've seen the highlights. I wasn't able to follow the game live on Tuesday, but I mean, even the highlights, just, you know, Charlton, you might try and cut them to show more of us and more attacking threat from us, but you could see even from them it was dominated by Burton, and they're a good side at home, and we knew that going into the game, so you knew it was going to be a tough test. You fall behind as well, and then yeah, as we've all said, to manage to come away with that with 3 points, maybe we didn't deserve it, but you know, as Charlton fans, who cares? It's one of those wins that perhaps we're going to look back on at the end of the season and think that made a real difference.
Yeah, I mean, because over the course of the game, it was clear, and you know, there will be questions asked about the performance overall, whether we were set up right or whether the players were struggling to adapt to the conditions. It was a horrible evening up there. But at the end of it, you'll look at the resilience. You know, for all the possession that we gifted, possibly we were overrun in the midfield, I think, which doesn't often happen on Tuesday evening. The back four and Jed Steer, when he was called upon, tended to stand up to everything that was thrown at him. And Bowyer says himself in the post-match interview, you know, sometimes you just need to show that bit of doggedness just to stick in there. And you never know, you might try and nick it down the other end. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and we've played 7 games this month. And that was the 7th of them. And that's 7 games in 24 days. So we're playing so often at the moment. And we've said time and time again, we haven't got the biggest squad in the world. Bowyer said here in interviews that we seem to struggle with those Tuesdays, whether that's because of the squad or another reason, I don't know. But whatever it is, those Tuesday games have been difficult for us. And it's a tough place to go, as you say. It's a nasty, cold, windy, rainy night as well. They're a good side at that place. And as I say, it comes off the back of a really grueling month for us. And we've still got injuries as well. So when you factor all that in, you know, I'm not looking for excuses, and luckily we don't need them because we got the point. But you think if there's ever going to be a game where the players are probably excused for being slightly off the pace, then that's probably the one. You know, the international break really didn't make too much difference because we even had a Checker trade and an FA Cup replay over that period as well. So I think we've just played so much football recently, and he hasn't had a lot of opportunity to rotate his squad, that you know, you kind of saw a performance like this coming. And despite all of that, we just said, apart from the Checker trade game, which we're kind of not counting, we've won or drawn every game. So it's been a really, really good month, and to come away with a win there, you know, I'd have probably taken a point before that game, more than happy with that. So to come away with all 3 points is just the icing on a November cake.
Yeah, I don't think I personally would have taken the point before the game, just purely because if we are this promotion hunting side, but certainly after half time, I would have taken it, because we were so overrun at times in throughout the whole game. You mentioned he hasn't had many opportunities to rotate. He did take the ones he had, so obviously Lyle Taylor had to miss out the Bristol Rovers game due to suspension. He came back in for Nicky Ajoze, and then Naby Sarr came in at left back, which allowed Solly to go back to right back, Dick Steele to have a rest, and then Tariq Fosu for Jamie Ward. Seems to be the fairly standard Tuesday evening fare, because I don't think Jamie Ward, he said it himself, he doesn't really want to be playing 90 minutes on the Tuesday, and then on the Saturday before that as well. So where we did shift things around a bit. So the very little movement he did have, he was able to use it. And obviously, I mean, before the game, I was thinking Lyle Taylor coming in, that's going to be big for us. But he actually had a pretty quiet game, because he saw so little of the ball. I mean, when he did have it, he had played a couple of nice balls forward for Grant. That's where our penalty came from as well, one of his balls. He had a shot that went wide in the near post early on. We saw that chance maybe not too long before we scored, actually, where he was set away and was denied from a tight angle. So, I mean, just to be able to make those couple of changes just about keep the squad ticking over probably helps in a way.
Yeah, and you'd imagine he'll do much the same this weekend as well. But I think you also got to factor in the fact that with those changes, there are going to be players that obviously have to adapt. Solly, you know, he's a born right back. He's played right back all his life, but he spent the last few weeks at left back. So to suddenly go back to the other place takes a little adapting. Sarr, obviously coming in at left back, it's not somewhere that's too familiar. He did it against Doncaster when he came on as a sub, and he obviously did it at Bradford really well last year, but it's not somewhere he plays that often. Fosu still playing his way into form, and Taylor, you know, okay, he was suspended last game, but he's been up and down to Montserrat every other week, it seems, at the moment. Is it Montserrat?
Yeah.
So he's had loads of travel as well. So although we're making the changes we can, which is obviously great, and it's giving those players some chance to play and giving some players some natural rest, that's going to affect the team as well, because they've got a period of adjustment whilst they fit into that new system. So it was never going to be easy. That's the thing. And when I say I would have taken a draw before the game, I completely agree with you that we're a team that need to go places and win if we are one of those top teams. But I just looked at that and thought, at the end of a schedule like this, if there's ever going to be a time where we might struggle, that might be the one. And to come through that is obviously great. I'd hope he rests a few of them again at the weekend, and obviously look ahead to Blackpool. I think even in his press day today, he doesn't even mention the game. He says we're looking ahead to Blackpool. So, you know, I'm sure he'd love to get through in the cup, but he said time and time again that that's not his priority. And we've obviously got Portsmouth coming up as well, which is another huge game. And then a few teams after that that perhaps we would hope to beat. So, it's about managing what will be another busy month, because obviously the Christmas period, games come thick and fast as well.
Now, as that first half progressed, like I say, I think we were seeing Burton having the better chances. I thought their Boyce on the far side had a lot of the ball. There was a great save from Jed Steer across that came over the header. He tipped onto the bar, and then the rebound was offside. So it almost takes it away from his save, but I don't think the original header would have been offside. So that was a superb save. It wasn't long after that they had the penalty. Now, Christian Billick are judged to have tripped Boyce in the area. It's a really tough one, because for starters I wasn't looking at the time, because my equipment wasn't working, so I was fiddling around with that. I look up and there's a penalty, and then when you try and watch it back, there's a player running across, so you can't actually see. Now, not too many complaints at the time from it, and then afterwards, I mean, Jason Pearce said he's not sure. Bowyer said the same, but you know, you go a goal down, and how you react to that is so important. And I think it's the fact that we were level within 7 minutes in a game where we've been struggling. I mean, that was huge for us to go in at the break on level terms, really.
Yeah. And I think I've seen the highlights back as well, and again, couldn't tell, but obviously Terry's fair and impartial, and he thought it was a penalty. So
Terry doesn't think we should ever concede a penalty ever.
So I'll go with him. But yeah, you're right. As I said, I've said since the start of the show, you know, this was always going to be a tough game. I'm not talking about Burton as a top two side or anything like that, but their home record is pretty good. They've got a good, experienced manager at this level, and they've been performing well at home. So it was always going to be tough, and you go behind to a penalty, and it's about that character. And as I said, the conversation I had with my colleague earlier, to come back and win from that position, you know, we don't do it that often. It does happen, but it's rare. And you're right, we go a goal down, and you think, oh, no, not again. And to get that penalty so quickly, it was obviously key to that. On Steer as well, obviously, because I haven't had much chance to comment on his performances this month, but I think he's really stepped up and made some massive saves over the last two or three games, really, and deserves a lot of credit for that, because He came in for a lot of criticism when he came in. I don't think it was necessarily aimed directly at him, but the decision maybe to bring him in for Phillips. But yeah, you look at the goal we scored the other day from his break, Ward scored against Bristol, and then a few of the saves he's made in the last two games. I think he deserves praise as well.
Yeah, it certainly does. Colin Grant, quite a clear penalty from him, yeah. From McFadden. Not the best spot kick. The keeper got a hand to it, but it crept in. Start of the second half, we had a massive chance. Lapo, we saw him miss one on Saturday against Bristol Rovers. Now this one, I thought he looked a little bit more composed to take the touch and to shoot. And there was a lot of bodies in between him and the goal. But I mean, I could see Boyer's reaction. He was right in front of us where we were, and he was not happy when that didn't go in. But it's good to see George getting into these scoring opportunities now. He's getting more confidence now. He's having an even longer spell in the first team, getting forward. You know, it's going to be one of those ones where as soon as one of them drops for him, you feel like he's got a few goals in him. Really,
that's exactly what I was about to say, and it's that sort of rite of passage that ever since Boyer and Jacko have been around the club. Jake took it first, and then Aribo took it, and now Lapsley's kind of following that same path. And if you remember with them, the goals first sort of drip fed in one or two every now and again, and then they slowly increased and slowly increased, and now Aribo's well on his way to 10, you would think, or 10 plus for this season. Jake obviously was on that way last year, obviously not this year with his injury, but Lapsley seems to be going the same way again. Started the season a little bit more tame, only in terms of getting forward. I think his performances have been very good. The last few games he's got there, as you say, that one against Bristol, he just didn't really seem to believe in himself. And then this one he did. You would think a goal is coming. He obviously got, was it in the Checker trade? He got his first goal.
Crawley, yeah.
Yeah, so he has scored for us, but I think that first league goal for him will be huge. And again, I don't think he's suddenly then going to go on, score five in a row and do a Toby Stevenson. But I think goals will come towards the latter half of this season. And if he can get sort of three or four, maybe a few more over the next couple of years, you've got to remember he's still very, very young. But you can see that he's got that in him. And again, that must come from the work of Jacko and Boyer.
Yeah, so the chances really started to dry up for us after that, even though the pitch wasn't a sodden surface. I mean, Clough chucked on a couple of wingers. Miller and Harness both came on for Burton, and they were giving us all sorts of problems getting dangerous balls in. But like I say, we dealt with them. That's what you're going to take from it. They had shots, Steer saved from Boyce as well. That superb challenge back with from Naby Sarr, which the club tweeted out when Fraser was going through on goal. London Inter Geezer, in fact, he tweeted in saying that last ditch tackle by Naby Sarr on Tuesday night surely is the French Bobby Moore. Says he loves Naby. I mean, he nearly scored an own goal in the first half, actually. Naby, I mean, that was a Naby Sarr performance all over. I mean, he nearly ballsed it up at one point, but then he played well otherwise and made a great challenge. So, you know, fair play to him. But you know, we were clearly under the cosh, and then just towards the end, as they're starting throwing more balls into the box, I saw Nigel Clough turn to the fan in row one after the third or fourth cross in the last 5 minutes hadn't quite fallen to one of his players, and he turned to one of his fans just behind him and said, "Just need one to drop." And luckily for us, it didn't. And then we you know, as the game was getting just more stretched towards the end, we saw that chance for Taylor. Ended up winning a corner that Wardy played in. And, you know, you got a gamble. Aribo flicks it onto the near post, and there's Piercy at the far post, right in front of the Charlton fans. And, you know, it's a smash and grab. It's a robbery. Lee Bowyer should have spent the night in the cells, really, getting away with those 3 points. But, you know, you take them. If you dig in and you hang into the game any which way, you might get that chance. And as everyone said, I mean, it's happened to us enough times. It's just nice to be dishing one out rather than being on the receiving end.
Yeah, 100%. And do we deserve it for... I'm going to sound like Bowyer now. Do we deserve it for free-flowing attacking football? No, we don't. But we stuck in there. We dug it out. We protected our goal as much as we could. And when that chance came along, like you say, we took a gamble. One of our defenders was prepared to push up because it was in the latter stages of the game, and we nicked the winner. And it was totally deserved in that sense. And you think about, I mean, it's been well publicised ever since Tuesday night all over Twitter and stuff, the amount of goals we've scored from set pieces this season. But you think
18
about...
18 or so, including penalties.
Yeah.
16, sorry, it was, yeah.
But you think of even just from the corners we've scored. We got that Aribo one the other week against Doncaster. We've got the one from Bielik at Southend. You know, we have got goals in us from set pieces, and Jacko deserves a huge amount of credit because I know a lot of the work is done by him at the training ground. But they count just as much as a screamer from 35 yards. It doesn't matter. And we seem to be utilising that this year. And again, it's paid off. And it's one of those opportunities that you get the chance to work on that. And no matter who's marking you, that the scenario is going to be pretty similar to rehearsing it on the training ground. So you get that head start by practicing those moves. And I've never understood. We've always seemed to have been poor at corners as long as I've been coming down here. And finally, we seem to be actually getting that right, and we're reaping the rewards.
Well, as you say, I'm sure it's no coincidence that the man that used to always be good at corners, Jacko, when he was playing, now he's in charge of setting him up. We seem to be doing really well from him. So, yeah, no coincidence. So, four league wins in a row, deserved or not, that's the momentum that's going to keep us going. Still in the top six, but unlucky with the results around us all seem to go against us. But, you know, as long as we keep doing what we keep doing, then other teams will start to drop off at some point.
Yeah, well, you'd have to hope so, wouldn't you? And I know, as I mentioned earlier, we've obviously got Portsmouth coming up. We've got Sunderland in January as well. So they're going to be massive games for us. And we've got Peterborough, I think, at the end of January. So, you know, they're the games that we're living for. They're the ones that are going to be key. But at the same time, we have to beat the sides that are, you know, that are around other parts of the league as well. And yeah, we've done that. And as you say, Portsmouth now look to be maybe running away with it. But I said a few weeks ago on this show, that I still thought top two was possible. Naif wasn't so sure, but I still really believe it. It's a big if, but if we were to beat Sunderland, if we match their results between now and then, we're 3 points behind them. There's absolutely no reason why we can't overtake them. We're the team in form at the moment. Sure, I'm sure we're going to have another lull at some point, but it's how we ride that out. And as you say there, other clubs are going to as well. You know, it's not just going to be us. And we've had bad spells earlier in the season. You know, we didn't start the season brilliantly apart from that win against Shrewsbury, and we've come through that. We won three or four in September, same in October. Now we're unbeaten in however many in the league through November as well. So, yeah, we're going into a very busy period in some very good form.
Right, we're going to hear your three-word reviews of the match shortly. So don't forget, it's your last chance to talk to me at Charlton Live in 3 words. How would you describe our win up at Burton Albion on Tuesday? But after the match, I caught up with the Charlton boss, Lee Bowyer, and I asked him if it was fair to describe it as a bit of a smash and grab.
Yes, 100%. I think we're due one of them. We've had enough done to us this season. They outplayed us. Maybe it's very good. I said they're good. They're a good side at home. I think we stole the points there. Yeah.
Yeah, for a positive, I guess your team at times had to dig in that second half and defend, and they kept going right until the end.
And again, before the game, I said to them, look, these are a good side. Don't judge them by their position in the league, because they're a very good side. They've just come down from the Championship. You know, they've got good players. Good footballers, and I said that these Tuesday nights, like it or not, these are the ones that get you promotion. Come the end of the season, you have to dig deep. Like, yeah, our lads are tired from Saturday, you know, they put a shift in on Saturday and they're tired, and I said to them, you have to dig in and just give me 100%. They'll have a bit of a rest after this. Give me 100%, that's all I ask, and you'll have to dig in and fight and compete for each other. And again, that was a team performance, a dogged performance, you know, on a Tuesday night. That's what you need, and to get the 3 points, and that's what we've just done. So, did we deserve the 3 points? No. But there's a lot of games that we did deserve the 3 points and left with nothing this season. And so I'm going to take this one and run.
I guess if there's one player that sort of personifies the blood and guts that you need on a Tuesday night away on a rainy day is, of course, Jason Pearson. He was the one who stood up at the end of the game there to score that winner.
Yeah. He's just a warrior, isn't he? He's a leader. That's why he's our captain. But I think they all done well tonight. They all put shift in. George Lapsley was everywhere, like literally everywhere. When you don't even want him to be everywhere, he's everywhere. You just want him to keep his shape and stay in position, but he's out in the right back position. You're thinking, no, but I have to say, Jed was outstanding tonight. I thought he was excellent. Some of the saves he made was very good. So everyone put a shift in, and the whole fault. I'm really pleased for him. I've just said to him, that's the best 3 points we've won this season for me. For me to take them, that's the best, because they're the ones that you don't deserve, but you dig deep and you fight and compete and to get the 3 points, I'm over the moon.
It's a tale of two penalties in the first half. Seems a long time ago now, but the penalty that was given to Burton Albion, there were some complaints from the Charlton players. Did you have a view on what happened?
It looks soft from where I was, but apparently there was contact, so it shouldn't have come to that. We should have just cleared the ball. shouldn't be trying to control it 6 yards out, 7 yards out. Just clear it. But from what I hear, it was a penalty. So same as that, so it was both penalties. So yeah, that was fair. But yeah.
And obviously, you'll take the momentum from the result, if not the performance. That's four wins in a row now, still nestled quite safely in that top six, and the train sort of keeps going along the rails.
Yeah, we've just got to keep plodding along, you know. Like I've said before, we're not even halfway through the season yet. We're in a good position at the moment. I think near enough everybody above us won tonight as well, which I thought maybe one or two might trip up, but it's a long way to go and a lot of points to be played for. So we've got another tough one, Blackpool away next. That's going to be just as hard as tonight. But we'll have a bit of a rest now. What, we don't play for another like 10, 12 days, whatever it is. So yeah, we'll definitely have we'll be ready for that.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Comes now to Bauer. Bauer now to Saar. Saar, lovely little dummy, advances forward with the ball out left now to Page. Page on a run, adjacent to bounds here. Page crosses in, it's a decent ball. Colin Grant is in, surely. It is, the referee's given it. Colin Grant heads home off the underside of the bar, just over the line. A glorious ball in from Lewis Page. Finds the head of Colin Grant, who gets his second in as many weeks. And Charlton 1-0 up here after 14 minutes.
So welcome back to Charlton Live, the big match preview you just heard there from Lee Bowyer after Tuesday evening's 2-1 win up at Burton Albion. He seems to forget that we are playing this Saturday.
Not fast, is
no,
he?
No. Yeah, I did ask him about the FA Cup after, but we've got some more recent audio about the Cup, so we'll use that later on in the show. But fair to say, I think he's not as bothered about that as he is about the league. Which is fair, like I say, fair play to him. When we're winning games in the league, then long may it continue. Yeah, you can never question Lee's honesty. I think I think we guessed what Carl Robinson might have said about something else recently, about the 5-0 against Mansfield. He would have come out and pretended we were Barcelona, even though we didn't actually play that well until the last 10 minutes. You know, would Carl have come out and admitted that we'd stolen that? Maybe not. Bowie is very honest with what he says, and more importantly, he gets results anyway, so it don't matter what he says.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, obviously. It's the results that count, but you're right. I think it's a different style of management, isn't it? And when Carl used to come out and say what he said, I think it was his way of trying to motivate the players and make them perhaps try and play beyond their capacity and try and keep them playing at their very best. For Lee, he's much more honest to a certain extent. I think Carl was an honest manager as well. I think sometimes he just saw the positives where perhaps sometimes there weren't any. And as I say, a lot of that was down to results anyway, but Bowyer is more than happy to admit when we're bad. Although Carl did that away at Northampton as well and dug some players out. But you're right, it's a different style of management and it's refreshing to see. There's not much more we can really say about it in terms of the performance. We all know that it wasn't our best, but we still came away with a win. And that's the most important thing. It's just funny that he has absolutely no interest in Saturday at all, to the point where he barely would even reference it.
Yeah, right, let's have a look at your three-word reviews from the game on Tuesday night. Millie said it was absolutely bloody amazing. David Young says manager of month. I mean, that the results we've had in November, certainly he's got to be up there, isn't he? Alan said it was Christmas come early. Andy says it was an absolutely great result. Cliff quite fairly describes it as a smash and grab. Tim Jackson said tension, passion together, or he said "ale ale ale," which is what everyone was singing in the pub after, which is very fun.
The video that went round as well. Oh, with the guy, amazing.
Yeah, the guy adding his own ad hoc lines. Yeah, we all enjoyed that. And Pete said it was complex, convoluted victory. Unfortunately, Nathan's not here to try and get his he's noggin around those words. Bob Liscombe said it was daylight robbery. Again, which is fair to say. Yeah, it was that LA, LA, LA song that Tim mentioned after. I mean, I thought the fans were really good on Tuesday night. I don't think I actually saw an official number, probably about 600 or so. And even though we weren't playing well, they kept going, the fans, and, you know, they certainly enjoyed it. And then everyone who stayed up in Burton seemed to all gather at the same Weatherspoons pub in the town centre after, which was staying open a bit late, so I joined we went there and everyone was in there. It was a great night in the pub after, and then clearly I had too much fun, because when I was going back to my room, we got a tweet in from Seba actually just for the show saying, "Were you on the third floor of the Travelodge in Burton?" To me, "I'm sure I heard you talking to someone walking past room 301 at about 12:30 when I was about to turn in," and said, "Well, that's exactly the time I got in and exactly the floor I was on." So yeah, it was a I was caught by somebody. Lucky I weren't doing anything naughty, really. I was just coming back in from the pub. But yeah, it was a great night for the Charlton boys. Also a great night for this man, who we're going to hear from now. Of course, Jason Pearce scored the winning goal. He was imperious throughout the game. And again, we spoke to him after, and again, he was pretty much along the lines of that it wasn't the sort of game that we're used to being on the right end of.
Yeah, no, we were under the cosh from minute one, to be fair, and first half they're better than us for sure, and we got in at half time 1-1, which was important. We knew we had to regroup, change the system a little bit, and we give it a good go, but they were still relatively on top, to be fair, so to get the 3 points is massive for us.
You've played in many games like that where you've been under pressure for the whole 90 minutes, but the back four especially were under a constant pressure from Burton today.
Not really, no. I haven't played in many games. I think it's happened to us a lot in the past. You know, we've been dominating games and then we get sort of done by sucker punts, so it's just nice to have it the other way around. But obviously we know we can play a lot better than that, but obviously the most important thing is the 3 points.
From a defensive point of view though, when you're under that sort of pressure, yourself, Patrick Barrow to your right, and we had Naby Sarr to the left this time, and Chris on the right, it must give you some cause for satisfaction that you can put up that sort of defensive line against what was constant pressure.
Yeah, no, it was a difficult game for all of us. I think everyone's knackered coming off the pitch. It wasn't everyone gave 100% still, we probably weren't at our standards we've hit a lot of this season, so but no, it's more pleasing. Obviously Jed as well, he's made a couple of brilliant saves there to keep us in the game, so no, we're obviously delighted with the victory, but you know, it's the performance wise we know we can do better.
We'll get on to the winning goal in a second, but just before we do that, the penalties in the first half, their one looked soft from where we were, but was it?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them given. It's difficult. I didn't think it was a penalty, and I was right next to it. But the ref said Christian's reaction. It was a penalty, and he felt it was a penalty. So it was soft, but it was disappointing.
And we have to then talk about the fact that how important was it though to go up the other end and get our own penalty and get back in the game before?
Yeah, it was massively important. To be fair, like we still had a couple of good chances, and I think that goes to show the boys don't stop. We do keep going, even though our performance probably wasn't the standard. We know we can play, but it was important we went in 1-0 at half time, and then we knew we'd have a chance second half.
When you're in a game like that, and they've had a fair amount of pressure, the home side, and I wouldn't say real clear cut chances, but Jed Steer's been in the way of the ones they did have. Do you grow in confidence at that point when you think actually there might be something for us tonight?
I think the most importantly, I was shouting it to the boys, make sure the minimum we get is a draw, because you come here and get a draw, it's a good result. They're a good team, they got some good players, and so to come away with a draw, I think we'd take that, but to come away with 3 points is a brilliant result.
Anybody who hasn't seen the game, there'll be no surprise when I say that you know, we need warriors out on a pitch, and you typified that tonight, but the back four generally was superb, but your head seemed to be pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, no, I was pleased with my personal performance, but more importantly, it's about the team, and I thought everyone give their all and put their bodies on the line, and that's what it's about. I mean, Bo has come in and said that, you know, away from home on Tuesday nights, we haven't had that in the past, and the last few games, everyone's given their all, and it's showing now. We've got that, like Bo has said, we've got that side to us as well, resilience, and we obviously on the ball. We know we can do better tonight, but we can be very effective and one of the better teams in the league.
And they'll also see the name on the scoreline, on the score sheet, the winner coming 3 minutes from the end. Everybody who hasn't seen it will be expecting it to be a header.
Yeah.
But you proved them wrong.
Yeah, to be fair, I gambled on and Joe Aribo flicked it. Obviously, it was a good, great ball in from Wardy. And yeah, I just managed to. I thought it was going to go over, but but no, as I was delighted when it went in. Obviously, you can see by my celebration.
The celebrations afterwards into what was a superb Valley faithful.
Yeah,
who made the trip north today.
Brilliant. They really behind us. Obviously, even when we weren't at our best, they stayed behind us. So I can't thank them enough for the support and obviously to get the 3 points for them is brilliant.
I suspect the trip home will be slightly better than it probably would have been 5 minutes before that.
Yeah.
But the performance, though, joking apart, and you were under pressure. The performance itself, the fact that we didn't give in, we didn't cave in to what was good pressure from the home side, who won't lose too many games here, I suppose. Must really give the team some confidence. It's four wins on a bounce as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, we've got to keep building, you know. We know as players and I think the fans here, we're a good team this year and we got a lot about us, but like you say, you've got to keep your feet on the floor and you've got the minimum expectation from all of us is to give our all. If we give our all and we've got some real good players in there who can win us the games, and they have done in this season. So we've got to keep going, and we will keep our feet on the floor and keep working hard.
Lyle Taylor has a glorious chance on his Addix debut. Gives Charlton a lead, and referee blows whistle. Taylor steps
Come
up.
On.
Lyle Taylor.
Yes!
Charlton! Charlton take the lead after 9 minutes. Lyle Taylor on his Charlton debut. Gives the away side an unlikely lead.
So welcome back to Charlton Live, the big match preview. Great to hear from Jason Pearce after his match-winning goal up at Burton Albion on Tuesday night. The word warrior has come up quite a few times, actually, on this show. But he is the ultimate warrior when it comes to Charlton, isn't he? And he's exactly the sort of leader you need, and he'll pop up with a goal like that every now and then as well.
Yeah, epitomises everything we would want. And you look at his Instagram after every game, and every photo that he chooses to post is him battering someone in some sort of aerial challenge or something. And you're right, he's a complete fighter out on the pitch and always gives everything. Something we really, as fans, that's all we ask for, is to put in that 100%. And yeah, without fail, he does that every single game. And to pop up with a goal is obviously brilliant, but I mean, the primary work he does at the back as well is also great. So yeah, a brilliant performance from him, and just so good to see him back alongside. Was he alongside Barrett on Tuesday?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
so good to have those two back as well.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. Right, so what's come on tonight's show? We're going to hear a few more snippets out of today's press day. A couple of talking points that come out of that. And of course, we'll look ahead to Saturday's FA Cup second round tie here at the Valley with Doncaster Rovers. So just before we talk about that, obviously some sad news that emerged on Monday. We found out, unfortunately, that former Charlton midfielder Darren Pitcher died at the age of 49 over the weekend, and it was slightly before our time, both of us. But if you could see some of the tweets coming out from his former teammates, you could see he was clearly a well-respected person and a good player as well. He was involved in some big moments. He had the assist on for Colin Walsh's first goal back at the Valley back in 1992, and he scored a winner in an FA Cup giant killing at Blackburn back in 94, I believe it was. So he played a big part at Charlton. He ended up going on to Palace, and there he had an injury, unfortunately, that curtailed his career. And I'm sure if Terry's on Sunday, I'll be able to share a little bit more about Darren Pitcher. But like I say, you can see by some of some of the tributes he was getting from fans as well on social media, that he was clearly a well-respected and a very good player.
Yeah, and came through our youth system as well, which immediately will endear him to Charlton fans. I'll just read in the club statement here, and Colin Cameron apparently described him as, what was admirable was his attitude, patience and determination to improve a game. And again, going back to Jason Pearce and his attitude on the pitch, it's just something that as Charlton fans, that's all we want to see. And you're right when you see that outpouring of emotion from fellow players. And the fact he went after us to a bitter rival like Palace and is still loved by Charlton fans, you know, that's not easy to do either. So, yeah, to lose his life so tragically young is obviously just awful, and thoughts obviously to his family and friends.
Certainly. Right, don't forget, coming up here at the Valley on Sunday the 9th of December, it's the Charlton Athletic Community Trust are putting on a dinner to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the 1998 playoff final. You can still buy your tickets for that dinner. We heard from Mark Kinsella on the show this time last week. He'll be at the dinner along with many others from that squad, and Alan Kirbishley as well, of course, the manager of that squad. We'll be hoping to have a couple more members of that squad on the show before then, but we won't release any details until I've actually got the interview sorted, but hopefully we will. And don't forget, all the money raised will go towards the Charlton Athletic Community Trust. I mean, we spoke last week about the excellent work they do. I mean, there's another one that's come out this week. The Trust are going to be part of the biggest round of funding yet from the Mayor of London's Young Londoners Fund. And will be leading on the delivery of the Connect project with its partners, the Royal Borough of Greenwich, Peabody and the London Borough of Bexley, in order to help fund or address street violence. Obviously something that's been quite big news in the capital this year. So that's just something that the Trust does, and obviously every penny that you raise from the dinner will go towards the excellent work that the Trust does. So you have a look on the Trust website. You'll still be able to get your tickets for that dinner, and like I said, it'll be a great way to celebrate that 20th anniversary of the greatest game that Wembley's ever seen. And as I say, you'll hear from all the players. We get to meet all the players from that time as well. Right, let's have a look at a couple of things that came out of press day today. First thing, Lee Bayer, obviously we're just about to go into December, which means we're only just over a month away now from the January transfer window, which, to be fair, is normally bad news around these parts. Yeah. But Bowes was asked about it today, and he was asked if he's had any contact with Roland about the sort of players that he'd be hoping, if possible, to pick up when January comes.
I've not spoken to the owner about anything to do with that yet. I know one position that we do, and I keep saying it, one position we do need to strengthen, and that's left back. I feel Chris Solly's playing there at the moment. Naby, we played there on Tuesday, and he's not comfortable out there. We changed it in the end at half time and went to three at the back. We'd look to look more comfortable like that. But that's definitely a position that we have to strengthen, because we don't have no cover there.
So there we go, talking about obviously the left back situation. We know that Page is out, we know Nabs has filled in at times, and Solly of course has played on the wrong side as well, so clearly that's a position we want to strengthen. The question will be whether we can.
Yeah, I think we've still got a couple of spaces for loans, haven't we, as well?
Yeah, we can get loans, yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure we're going to have to do some business, because it's one of them things where if he's been telling the truth to other managers, we've been told that if we were in and around it come Christmas, he would invest more money. Now, I know the situation is slightly different this year in that he's trying to sell, but in my mind he's been trying to sell for about 14 years anyway, so that shouldn't make any difference. Bowyer has proven he deserves more players. He's proven he's capable of signing good players. Players are starting to sign up to contracts with the expectation that this club is perhaps going somewhere again. So I think it's the least that we all deserve. And he's not coming out and saying, I want some 30 goal a season striker. He's not being greedy. He's saying, I need strength in depth in the one position in particular where he hasn't got it at the moment. And look, I'd love another central defender as a bit more support for Bauer and Pearce. I'd love another number 10. I'd love another defensive midfielder. But they're all secondary to that, and I think we need to focus on left back first. I still do think we need a bit more cover across the squad, because as we've said lots of times, it is thin. And unfortunately, the performances of the likes of Morgan, Lapsley and Stevenson are probably going to make Roland go, nah, you don't need anyone else. But yeah, I think we need extra players, because this season's grueling, and injuries have taken their toll already this season, and we've weathered that storm. But I'm sure it's going to happen again in the new year, and we need to be able to cope with that.
Yeah, I mean, is there any other position do you think? I think strikers, you'd think we'd be all right at the moment. Midfield, obviously, with the injuries we've got, maybe. The goalkeeper will come into in a little in a little minute, but anyone else desperate? I mean, left back is clearly the most important one.
As I say, I think maybe a centre back. I love Naby, but I'm not sure.
You're not in love with him?
No, not Freddie. But Bielik can play there as well, obviously, but he is only on loan, so it's not like we've not got anyone there. I think maybe either centre back or another defensive midfielder. Obviously, with Cullen out, Prattley, you know, one of the more experienced players, if we put it that way, you know, I think we need a bit more cover there. I think maybe going forward we're okay, particularly with a Jose having improved recently in weeks. So I would say probably defensive midfield is second choice, but I mean, you could arguably get four or five more players in just for a bit more strength in depth, and really say to the rest of this league, look, we're not going anywhere, we're really kicking on in the second half of the season.
Right, another slight question that will come up in January, of course, is about the future of Jed Stare on loan from Aston Villa, officially for the entire season, but Villa do have a recall option that they can use in January. Now, if anyone saw the highlights of their 5-5 draw with Nottingham Forest last night, you'll see that the goalkeeper they've got at the moment seems to be prone to letting in a lot of goals that he shouldn't do. Bose was asked today if Dean Smith, the Villa manager, former Brentford manager, of course, has been in contact to raise that point about whether he might be trying to recall Jed Stare.
No, we've not heard nothing there. Jed's just finding his feet, I think. I think it took him a while to get going. I think he'd admit that himself. But I think the last few games he's been outstanding. Tuesday night was his best game for us, I think. So hopefully he stays with us and keeps playing, because when he first came, he hadn't played for a long time, and he was rusty, a bit like Ben Amos last season. Took him a few games to get going. So now he's just finding his feet, and he knows the way we want to play. Then I'm hoping that he stays, but that's something that we can't control, unfortunately.
So a bit of a relief that at the moment we haven't heard anything, but I guess there's always that danger. Like I say, the Villa goalkeeper in particular last night let in two or three really soft ones that he shouldn't have, and Jed's proved himself to be on really good form.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, I think he deserves a huge amount of credit, because he came in difficult circumstances, and I don't think that was down to his quality in particular, but it was down to perhaps the fact that people thought Phillips had been dropped unfairly, and I think I would probably be in that camp. When he came in, all the talk was about his distribution, and we didn't necessarily see that immediately, but just looking back at the results here, we won three and drew two of his first five games, so we didn't do too badly. But yeah, in recent games, as I say, the distribution for Ward's goal the other day, you look at the saves he made in particular in the last two games, you've seen the experience come through. And when we signed him, although we didn't want Phillips to lose out on his space, you knew the sort of keeper we were getting and the reputation he came with, and it's good that we're seeing that now. It'll be interesting, of course, on the other hand, whether Phillips decides to go as a result of Stier staying here, and if that's the case, then what do we do? Because I know Maynard Brewer played the other week against Swansea, but is he someone we can really rely on as second choice or want to have to? So I think that keeper situation is still quite dodgy and has been for a few years whilst we've continued to get our number one as a loan. But if Stier can stay, he's someone I think I'd want to. If he doesn't, you would hope Phillips would be back to that number one spot.
I was going to say, would Phillips automatically get the step up? And then if Stier does go back, presumably we'd have to get someone else in, because you assume that Maynard Brewer isn't really ready to be the permanent number two at the moment.
Yeah, although I saw his interview the other week, and he talks with a lot of confidence, and he knows where he wants to be. He's a very ambitious young goalkeeper, and that's obviously good credit to him. And it's not that I think he's a bad goalkeeper at all. I just think he's so, so young, and you don't want to have to throw him in and rely on him necessarily. We had to do that with Pope early in his career, and you saw how that affected him in those early stages, and what he's gone on to achieve is obviously fantastic. So I think either way, if one of those two goes, you have to bring someone in to replace. I know Bowyer hasn't heard anything yet, but I wonder if that's on his radar anyway, just having a look at who might be available, even just as a short-term six-month thing, because I think in the summer there's going to be a big decision for Dills to make if he hasn't already made it in January. And obviously Steer's going back then either way, unless we can work out a signing, which I'd be surprised if we did that.
Now, finally, the final thing that came out of today's press day. Now, you would have noticed, of course, that on Tuesday evening, Carlin Grant was put forward to take a penalty kick, and he's now become the fourth player this season to be successful from the penalty spot for the Addicts. So you've got obviously Lyle Taylor, you've got Tariq Fosu away at Luton Town, you've got Toby Stevenson getting his hat-trick at Stevenage, and now you've got Carlin on Tuesday evening. So it's just unusual really to see, obviously when Lyle Taylor is the chosen spot kick taker, for him once again, like he did at Luton, to sort of hand it on to another player. So Lee Bailey was asked if we were to get another penalty in the next few games, if he knows who would step forward and take it.
I haven't got a clue. I have no say whatsoever on the penalties. As far as I was aware, Lyle was going to be taking that penalty, because after when he missed one for us, I said, look, you hit a good penalty, there was nothing wrong with the penalty, keeper made a great save, you're still number one. If you don't want to take it, you've got first refusal. If you don't want to take it, then that's up to you. So that's obviously something that the lads speak about. So that's two now that he's passed, if you like. Tariq scored one, Carlin scored the other night. That's Lowell's reasoning for doing that. So I don't get involved in that. I trust them all. But Lowell is the penalty taker in my eyes. And if he doesn't fancy it on the night or day for whatever reason, then that's down to him.
So an executive decision will be taken out on the pitch, will it, among the players?
Yeah, maybe they decided the day before. I don't know. I don't get involved in it. I trust whoever steps up will score. Lowell's no different. So, I don't get involved. I trust Lowell if he takes it, and then I trust his decision if he doesn't want to take it. And it's shown that the two that he hasn't taken, people have stepped up and scored. So maybe it was the right decision from Lowe.
Yeah, not one you often hear about managers delegating, but Lee Bailey, you're clearly happy to. I mean, what do you think is going through Lyle's mind when he just doesn't really fancy it, perhaps, at the time? He missed one for Montserrat again. He's missed a couple this season, but he scored a couple, so...
I don't know, it's a strange one, because he doesn't strike me as a man who lacks his confidence.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he just sees the opportunity for someone else to do it. Maybe he's just, although his confidence is high, maybe it's just a skill that he's perhaps... thinks that there's someone who can do a better job than him. Maybe it's sharing the goals around, I don't know. But either way, like Lee said, so long as they're going in, I don't really care who takes them. Get Naby or Jed on them for all I care, so long as they're going in, particularly this year when we've had a lot of them. So yeah, it doesn't bother me either way. But yeah, as you say, interesting to hear that Bowyer doesn't seem to have much control over it.
Yeah, right. Let's turn our attention to Saturday's home game with Doncaster Rovers. Second round of the FA Cup. Charlton obviously needed a replay to get past Mansfield. Drew 1-1 up at their place, Field Mill, with Toby the hat-trick Stevenson getting our goal, bringing it back to a replay where Lyle the hat-trick Taylor actually got a hat-trick, and we beat him 5-0. Chorley held Doncaster in the first round as well. They was to a 2-2 draw, and Chorley had 10 men. Donny had to come from behind twice in that game. Eventually took it to a replay where they beat Chorley 7-0. So they dished out some punishment there for having their noses bloodied in the first leg. From a Doncaster point of view, I mean, I didn't bother ringing the same bloke we had on the show about 3 weeks ago, because I just asked him the same questions. How have Donny got on? Well, the same as we had 2 weeks ago. So we haven't done that this week. But I mean, I was looking through their sort of local media today. Grant McCann said they will bring a strong side. He was talking about talking up the FA Cup. He said he'd had some good moments in it himself. But then I noticed they also put their reserve goalkeeper up to do press, so Ian Lawler. So it does raise some questions. I mean, looking at the side they put out in the first round away at Chorley, before the replay, there's some big names in there. John Marquise was there, Coppinger was there, the likes of Whiteman and Blair, who both played against us here at the Valley in the league game a couple of weeks ago. I mean, we know what they're about. They're a half decent team, Donny. We've seen them play before. We've got the confidence that we've beaten them before as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought we were really good in that performance here as well. Thought we thoroughly deserved the victory. And obviously the side will be a little bit different, because I think Cullen's out and Vetekele came on and he's going to be out. So, the team is going to be different. But we played really well. It was a clean sheet. There were two goals. We scored that one from a corner. Cullen obviously popped up with yet another goal. So, yeah, they're one of them teams that I feel we kind of rolled over, and it was probably one of the first results. Again, I'm just having a look back, but there hasn't been too many results where I felt that comfortable through the whole game.
Yeah, maybe the Barnsley game even a couple of weeks before
that was the one I was just looking at. And then obviously we went on to then beat Walsall 2-0 after it.
Well, it was sort of the one that kicked us back into life, because it came exactly. that was the first game after the defeat, wasn't it, at Rochdale, and so it just started us on this run again.
So
an important win for us. Now, of course, that run started against Doncaster, the first of four league wins, and now again we have to take this break for the FA Cup. So Lee Bailey was asked today if it's fair to say that perhaps this FA Cup game can be considered a bit of a distraction considering how well we're doing in the league.
Yeah,
you could have done without it.
Could have done without it, yeah, for sure, and then they would have had a little rest, but it'd give opportunity to other players to get some minutes into them. Some to show that they're ready for when we need them, and we'll still be going out there and we'll still be trying and giving out 100%. That's what, and try and win the game. That's the way they are. It's the way I am. Every game you want to win, but we are in a good place in the league, and I've said from day one my most important thing is to get promotion. That's what I'm going to be trying to do, and that nothing's changed.
And talking of injuries, anyone coming back, anyone available to you on Saturday that wasn't available on Tuesday night?
Yep, Ben Reeves. Ben Reeves will play on Saturday. On the injury side of things, it's more how tired they are today. There's a lot of people with a lot of tight groins and stiffness this morning. It was a heavy pitch the other day, and they put a good shift in. So it's more of the case of trying to wrap them up and look after them, and then people coming back, because it's only Billy coming back at the moment. Not Billy, obviously Billy Clark's available, but Ben Reeves, he's back. He's the only one.
So it's all a question of fatigue, is it?
Yeah, fatigue, yeah. Saturday, Tuesday, they put a big shift in, especially the midfield lads. So there's a lot of tired players in there today, and we've just got to look after them and get them ready for Blackpool.
So there we go, Lee. I mean, as has sort of been the theme of the show, he hasn't really got too much time for this fixture. I mean, he likes the cup, he respects the cup, but I think he'd arguably do without it. But we'll look at the positives. I mean, we're here. Ben Reeves is going to get some minutes probably by the sounds of it, and he needs them. And of course, Billy Clark's going to get some further minutes, having been missing from the league squad for the last couple of games. So there will be minutes in legs that haven't had some up for the last few weeks.
Yeah, and as I say, I think that's primarily how he's going to use the game, a chance for players like that. I don't think he's going to rest everybody, and partly because he can't, as Tony Hudd said to him there, but he has got a few options, and yeah, I think for him primarily it's about trying to get some minutes in those legs and make sure that his players are ready for the week after, because as we heard in his interview with Tell on Tuesday night, that's the only game he seemed to be talking about. If we get through, brilliant, you know, let's all keep our fingers crossed for a third round draw. If we don't, you know, it's not the end of the world. I think we're all quite excited about where this season's going in the league, and that's our focus. So it's a bit of a nothing to lose game, really, as far as I'm concerned, unless we get more injuries.
Yeah,
in which case then we lose a lot.
Or we get a replay, which will be even worse, because I mean, so Tuesday week, we're either going to be away to Doncaster in a cup replay, away to Portsmouth in the league, or if we go through or get knocked out and Portsmouth need a replay, we'll just have a spare Tuesday. But I think the absolute worst one is going up to Doncaster at short notice. I mean, I'm hoping we go through and Portsmouth do the same, and they're away to Rochdale, so I mean they could easily get a draw as well. But I'd like to be going down to Fratton Park in a couple of weeks, because that's one to look forward to. I mean, like I say, Billy Clark will play some minutes. I dare say Ben Reeves will. Looking at top, I mean, I'm sure Nicky Ajose will, and you guess that one out of Grant and Taylor will start. Now Grant's played more recently. Well, you say that, but then Taylor had his suspension, but he also had his international break at the same time, so it'd be interesting to see which way he goes with that one.
Yeah, I think given that Taylor didn't score, and it's not like he's on a drought or something, but he's gone, you know, he had the suspension and then he didn't really hit the heights, although, as you said earlier in the show, it perhaps wasn't his fault on Tuesday night. I think I would like to see Taylor and Ajose play. I think Ajose and Grant are a bit too similar as well, although they both played well the other week when Taylor was out, so perhaps I'd like to see Taylor and a Jose play up there.
Goalkeeper, obviously, Dylan Phillips will get a run out. Yeah, and then in the defence again, I think Naby Sarr perhaps will go in at centre half if Dick Steele and maybe even Toby Stevenson again at left back. Stevenson's actually looked quite good when he's been playing in the first team. And Billy Clark, perhaps the defensive midfield again, just where he's played a few times. He gave the ball away a few times in the cup replay, which isn't like him.
It's just the best way to get minutes in his legs, though, I think, to be shuttling around and making those tackles and doing what he loves. So I would expect him to play. I'd expect Lapsley to start. Fosu, you'd think, will start. Maybe Marshall, because I think he's impressed recently when he's come on. I'd like to see Albie get some minutes. I think he'll probably start on the bench, but I'd like to see him come on. Rico probably will come on as well. So yeah, I mean, we are looking to the youth to a little extent, but they're all players who've been involved with the first team in league fixtures as well. Yeah, I think we've got more than enough to beat them. It's just how much we really want to take it seriously. As I say, with the likes of Blackpool, Portsmouth, Barnsley, Sunderland, Peterborough all coming up over the next couple of months. So.
Well, fingers crossed we can get a result rather than a draw. And through to the next round, and you never know, we might be drawn at home to Manchester United. More likely be like Reading away or something, but who knows. Right, just very quickly, the Jacko's jackpot, are you going to pick one?
Yeah, I've been having to think. I'm either going to go with winning from behind, which I think was at 11-1. I'm going to wait for the side to come out, and I might go for one of the midfielders to score last. So maybe someone like Marshall or Arrivo if he plays to score last. But I'll have a think on Saturday.
Excellent stuff. So this has been, we've just about run out of time. This has been Cheltenham Live, the big match preview. Thank you, Tom, for coming in.
Cheers, Louis.
I've been Louis Mendes. Thank you for listening. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll be back here on Sunday evening to look back at whatever happens against Doncaster in the FA Cup. Let's hope that it's a safe passage into the third round and hopefully a draw against a big team. Thanks for listening. We shall see you on Sunday evening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.